Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Royals spring training list is now down to 60. Royals announced a little bit ago earlier this evening that the following players have been assigned to minor league camp. Right-handed pitcher Chandler Champlain, catcher Kale Imhoff, left-handed pitcher Tyson Guerrero, catcher Omar Hernandez, right-handed pitcher Ben Cadorna, catcher Blake Mitchell, two guys who are among the top prospects in the Royals system right now, right-handed pitcher Beck Way and Steven Zobok. So the Royals now down to 60 guys in big league camp. You look across, Jack Caglione is still with the major league team at spring training. Will he make the opening day roster? No. That's a very, very fast turnaround for a guy of that magnitude. I think he needs a little bit more time in the minor league system to kind of develop himself, because he only played like 30 minor league games. I mean, that's a really quick turnaround for a guy like that. I mean, we've seen rookies make big turnarounds. I mean, look at what Paul Skeens did last year with the Pittsburgh Pirates, but that was a very different scenario, I think, in a lot of respects. I want to open up hour number two with a just gutsy story that I've got here out of ESPN. You know what's even crazier than trading away the corner piece of your organization? A player that is universally beloved by your fan base a year after he took you to a championship series? Trading that player and then raising ticket prices. That is what the Dallas Mavericks did today. The Mavericks revealed Monday that they are raising season ticket prices for next year just weeks after trading off Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Mavs said that they are raising season ticket prices by an average of 8.61% due to, quote, ongoing investments in the team and fan engagement.
Oh, my goodness. That's got to feel like a slap to the face, to this fan base. I mean, you've absolutely got to be kidding me.
I mean, the gall of the Dallas Mavericks to do that.
The audacity.
You've got one of the best young superstars, not only in the league today, but in the history of the league, right? He's 25 years old. Averaging a career 28-8-8. And you're like, nah, just a guy who's finished in the top 10 of the MVP voting five times in 7 years. And you're like, you know what? He's getting a little fat. Let's trade him to Los Angeles for Anthony Davis. Just straight up. Let's trade him for Anthony Davis straight up. Guy who took us to the NBA Finals a year ago for a guy in Anthony Davis who goes down in his first game with the Mavs. And then it's like, you know what? Let's raise the prices on him too, right? If you want to go watch the Mavs next year, the Luka Doncic-less Mavs, you got to pay an extra 8.6% on average for those season tickets. Now, I don't know what the normal cost of season tickets are, and I'm not a mathematician, so I can't tell you what that 8.6% increase will look like, but an increase of any kind after you just traded away maybe the second most beloved figure in the history of the organization behind Dirk Nowitzki, that is mind-boggling on so many different levels. I can't fathom it right now. And, you know, you look at what Luka's doing right now with the Lakers. He's played in 8 games. He's averaging 22 points per game. He's averaging 8 rebounds and just under 7 assists for a Lakers team that looks to be trending towards contenders right now. Meanwhile, the Mavs are not doing well by any stretch. They said that the Mavs have said that despite the price adjustments, full season ticket holders will continue to save 15% to 23% compared to projected secondary market prices.
Is this a way to try to get more season ticket members? I mean, to try to pull in, like, yeah, the prices went up, but if you're a season ticket holder, you still get a good discount.
I guess.
I mean,
it's a weird marketing tool.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but
it's a strange one. And like, who's going to be jumping it? Like, what Mavs fan is going to be like, you know what? I wasn't a season ticket holder before, but now that you've raised the prices, showed us that despite the price raise, this is still a good price. Oh, and I can't forget that you traded away my favorite player a month ago. You know what? I'm in. Damn it, you've sold me. Now I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be at every Mavs game from here on out to watch Anthony Davis spend 40, 50 games a year sidelined with an injury. Watch Kyrie. Now, listen. I mean, you got Kyrie, and that guy is a phenomenal talent. You know, what he does off the court is, you know, another story. But he is a phenomenal basketball player. I mean, one of the most art-defying players that I've watched as a basketball fan. Like, the poetry in motion that that man exudes at the guard position is unfathomable. But you still traded Luka, and now you want to raise ticket prices for season ticket holders. Okay. 913-586-7965 is our number after hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside my producer for tonight, James Howell. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight. We've spent some time talking Royals spring training. I just mentioned a list of guys who are being designated back to minor league camp. So their chances of making the big league roster are now at zero, at least for opening day. Royals got a win earlier today. We talked about T. Higgins getting franchise tagged. We kind of gave our reviews of the Deebo Samuel trade to the Washington Commanders. Another bit of NFL news that came out today, and that is Darius Slay is reportedly going to be released by the Philadelphia Eagles. That, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Right now, it's looking like he will be designated as a post-June 1st transaction, which will save the Eagles around $4 million next year. Right now, they're about $20 million over the cap. And that means that they have got to figure some things out, because they have some big-time guys who are going to be free agents this offseason, including Zach Bond, who is a first-team All-Pro at linebacker, a guy who is going to be worth a lot more this offseason than he was last offseason after he was a career special teams player for the Saints, goes out and has 150-plus total tackles and gets an All-Pro nod and a Defensive Player of the Year finalist. Josh Sweat, who had 2.5 sacks for Philly in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Milton Williams.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This was another solid depth piece along that defensive line. And then Mekhi Becton, who made the transition from tackle to guard and performed admirably this season at that spot. That's a lot of big-time money that is going to be need to be shelled out to try to keep even one or two of those guys around. So to get rid of a piece like Darius Slay, a 6-time Pro Bowler, makes a lot of sense, especially with how Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean came along late in the year for Philly. You didn't need Darius Slay anymore. We all kind of saw this move coming. So it made sense to allow a player like that to go. Howie Roseman said earlier today, as the cap gets tighter, quote, as all our expensive players start becoming expensive, you have to go with younger players. And with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean running the cornerback spots for that team, it made a lot of sense. Slay's 34 years old. He'll be 35 by the time next season begins. This was a good move, I think, for Philly to make. Is it going to be enough to help them sign Bond or Sweat or Williams or Becton right now? Absolutely not. But it's the first step in a series of steps that may allow them to keep one or two of these guys around. Because I don't think there's any way that the Eagles can move enough money around to afford all four of them.
Well, you know, the old verbiage is you rather cut them a year early rather than a year late.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much Darius Slay has left in the tank. And so, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's a good move from Philadelphia's standpoint. And you're right. It's not going to create enough space to sign one of these big guys or all of these big guys. But it's definitely, you know, a little bit of money in the bank. And you could start saving to that point.
His cap hit in 2025 would have been about $13.78 million. Now, he will get all but around $4 million of that. I mean, you look at the total contract, you know, here. I'm not going to be, maybe I'm not the first one to say it, but if you can get a cheap enough deal, if you're the Chiefs, do you consider it? Maybe bring in a guy like Darius Slay to put on the outside along with Jalen Watson, and that allows you to kick Trent McDuffie back into the slot. As good as an outside corner as Trent McDuffie is, and he absolutely is a phenomenal outside corner, he's the best slot corner in football. And I believe that is where he fits most naturally. I think that's where he's at his best. I would love to see the Chiefs make a move of some kind, whether it's drafting a corner or maybe signing one and being able to put McDuffie back in the slot. And right now, Darius Slay might be your best free agency option at the cornerback position, and a guy who has grown accustomed to winning over the last 4 years as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. Maybe he wants to continue on with a winning organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, in Brett Veach's tenure with the Chiefs, fans, and I feel this deeply, but we've been disappointed when it comes to investments in our secondary, whether it be the cornerbacks or the safety. Yes, we've had Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Reed. They've been great, but especially the cornerback positions, it's been rather disappointing, the investment that the Chiefs have been willing to make. I think Darius Slay, even if he doesn't have a full tank of gas, so to speak, I think that I'd at least look into it. I'd take a flyer out and bring him in for a workout or something. You know, I definitely can't just pass on the guy. And if it's a cheap enough contract, why not? I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, at 34, almost 35 years old, Darius Slay knows that he's not going to get top dollar, right? He's not going to get top of the market contract offers by NFL teams. Earlier today, in fact, Sports Illustrated put out an article. Mike Kadlick of SI put together a list of the five potential landing spots for Darius Slay. It includes going back to the Eagles, which would be interesting. It wouldn't be the first time. I think it was 2022, maybe 2021, that the Eagles cut Fletcher Cox and then signed him again to avoid, you know, some of the market mix-ups and salary cap issues. The Detroit Lions were on the list. Of course, Darius Slay played the bulk of his career and was drafted by the Detroit Lions. He left when they were still a sort of bottom-of-the-barrel organization, and now they are anything but that. It's a Detroit team that could certainly use some secondary help. They've got some good pieces with Brian Branch and Terrion Arnold, but a veteran guy like Darius Slay couldn't hurt them. The Buffalo Bills, they have said to be another option with, you know, Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas last year. Those two guys had flashes, but they also struggled at times. So the Bills could be an option, but they've got a lot of, you know, salary cap things that they've got to contend with as well. They put the Denver Broncos on this list. okay. I mean, yeah, Pat Surtain obviously is Pat Surtain. He's the reigning defensive player of the year. I thought Riley Moss performed well at the other cornerback spot. I don't know where Darius Slay would necessarily fit in that secondary, unless you think he's an upgrade over Moss, and which he may very well be. And then fifth on that list is the Kansas City Chiefs. And he writes in the article, after coming up just shy of the first Super Bowl three-peat in NFL history, the Chiefs are looking to retool their roster this offseason and make another run at hoisting the Lombardi. Kelce's decision to return doesn't put Kansas City in a place to get younger, but rather to retool the top of the roster with veterans that could potentially help them get back to the Super Bowl and eventually, you know, get back to winning a Super Bowl. While the Chiefs' defensive backfield is currently equipped with two-time All-Pro Trent McDuffie on one side, the rest of the cornerback room, Slay would be an excellent option to play opposite the 24-year-old. I don't necessarily see him as a guy that would play opposite of Trent McDuffie. I see him as a guy that would complement McDuffie as an outside corner and allow McDuffie to go back into the slot where I believe he is the most natural fit. But who knows, right? That's one of the areas of need I believe this Chiefs team has. I think that it's probably third in terms of positional need of importance. I would say obviously left tackle is certainly a need. I think the interior defensive line is a need. And I also believe the Chiefs need a running back. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that still have a lot of faith in Isaiah Pacheco. And I'm not saying that I don't, but I don't know if Isaiah Pacheco is a three down back in the NFL. The Chiefs need that guy. And if there's anything that we saw over the weekend, it's that there are a lot of options available for potential three down backs in this league. This is potentially the deepest running back class in the last 30 years of the National Football League. It is absolutely loaded for bear. We may talk about that a little bit more as we go along here. Some NFL Combine superlatives on the other side of the break here. 913-586-7965. Who were some of your biggest winners of the draft? Who were the guys that impressed you? Who were the guys that when you watched the Combine over the weekend, you thought, I don't want the Chiefs to take that guy? Let us know in the text line. We'll be right back with you. Logan Weber alongside James Howell. This is After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.